Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 19.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you live and travel in a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I drive around in, or a big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. Well, this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes. The Good Sam Club, good friends, good fun, great savings, joined today. And a new sponsor for the program, welcoming them to the program, Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, here we are now, heading right into the last couple of weeks of January in the first month of a brand new year. We are excited about it. We're hitting the road just in a day or so, right after I record this. I'm recording this episode on the 20th of January. It will release on the 21st of January, 2015. And then the 22nd, we are beginning our travel north for our annual winter camp out. And this year, we will be at the beautiful Tequamanon Falls State Park up in northern Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where, as I record this today, they tell me there's something like 32 inches of snow on the ground. And we have filled the state park campground up. They only normally keep just a couple of spots open, and we have units coming from all over, really, I think from the East Coast, from as far east as Vermont, and then down into Georgia and places in between. They've called us. We've been talking with the folks at the park. They're excited about the turnout. They're plowing out extra spots, and everybody will have their own spot. It'll be plowed out. There'll be electricity. And we'll have lots of firewood and big fires, and we're going to do snowshoeing and some cross-country skiing. Somebody's bringing a snowmobile. Somebody else is bringing a fat, tired bike, and we're going to have a great time. If you've never winter camped, we'll tell you all about it next week in the episode, but you can find out lots of it. Just search for winter camping at roadtrekking.com, and you'll find all sorts of interesting stuff and material there. So that's what I got to look forward to this weekend. Last weekend, Jennifer and I were indoors, and we were in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan, in western Michigan, at the big Grand Rapids RV show. We were the guests of American RV. They brought us there. We get to hang out with some of their crews and enjoy that big camping show. Amazing attendance. And this is the camping season, as we're going to talk about in just a moment as we get into the news of the week. But lots of camping shows, lots of people camping everywhere. And they're all coming to those RV shows, and they're really excited about it. So we're going to tell you today some really great tips before you go to an RV show. Some things you have to know to make it an efficient visit. If you're shopping for an RV, you before you go, listen to the expert advice. I've got several people on a nice interview, and you'll pick up some really good tips, some inside information about how you get the best deal when you go to an RV show. You don't want to miss that. That's coming up in just a couple minutes here. We've got some great listener feedback this week about cooking in an RV, and also some information inquiry by one of our listeners who wants to figure out a way to keep everything from falling out of his cabinets and his drawers as he's driving down the road. That will be kind of fun. We've got some great tech stuff for you this week as we get into our technology, our traveling tech tips. We're going to look at some very interesting ways that you can keep track and save and be hacker-proof for all of the passwords you've got to use. If you're an RVer, you've got all these passwords. You may have them written down at home, but you probably don't want to bring that in the RV. And I know if you're like me, you've probably been out there, you had to log into a site and you forgot the password. I got solutions for you, and I've got solutions on what you should do no matter where you operate a computer, from home or from the road or from the office, how to protect your password and make it hacker-proof. That's in our traveling tech tip coming up. We've got a great off-the-beaten-path report from road trekking reporter Jan Seiner. Jan will be, by the way, with Jennifer and I up, Jennifer and me up at the Tequamanon Falls camp out this weekend. Jan's from Oregon, and he loves winter camping as well. That's how it all came about. He and I got talking one day, and we said, well, let's just invite anybody, see if anybody else wants to come. We didn't think anybody would come. But Jan also offers an off-the-beaten-path report in that segment this week about some misadventures he had when he first bought his RV and took his first trip. And, you know, we all kind of remember the things that went wrong and also the things that go right. And Jan's got a great report with a great attitude that I think you'll like. So that's all coming up on the program. We've got lots and lots and lots of news, and I think you're going to find it all pretty darn interesting.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, the news of the week really comes from Tampa, Florida. That was the big RV show, the big super RV show that was started midweek last week and ended over the past weekend here. Again, it's January 21st, 2015, as this episode is released. And this that Tampa RV show is the bellwether. That is the one that sets the tone for what the RV industry is going to be like for the entire year. And Jim Hamill, the president of Road Trek Motorhomes, either has at the time you hear this or will soon have a piece on the roadtrekking.com blog that offers his perspective on it. Our buddy Camp Skunk was our reporter on the scene, and he has a couple of reports that he filed from that show. And it was a big show. Road Trekking, the group section on Facebook is filled with lots of people who visited it, and they had a great time. But that's just one. And by the way, they set a record this year after setting a record last year of attendance. So that those dark days of 2008 or so during that that recession, those are long gone. The RV industry is really cranking along. And everyone was stunned at the response and how many units were actually sold at that show. Now, when we talk about RV shows, that's just one. Almost every major city in every region of the country has a big RV show, and it's going on like right now. So you've got one near you. Just look in your local paper or just go online and search RV shows and you'll get a list of them. They are everywhere in the country. They really started with Tampa, and then Grand Rapids was this past weekend. There have been shows all across the country. I'm not even going to try and list them all. You can find the ones near you. But an RV show is the way to shop for an RV for a number of reasons. Probably the best reason is that they're all there in one place. Usually, if you live in the north, indoors, which makes it very easy to shop, and you can comparison shop. But there's a lot more than just going to an RV show. Now, if the one in your area that you're going to go to is anything like the one in Tampa, or I've been to Tampa, and I'm telling you, that is just a madhouse. If it's anything like the one I just attended that Jennifer and I were at Grand Rapids, that was a huge show. You could hardly walk down the aisles. Everybody seems to be at these RV shows. Maybe they all have cabin fever and they got to go look and dream. But if you're going to go to one, you need to know how to shop at one. And that's what we did. So I picked a couple of regular shoppers that I knew that I met at that show in Grand Rapids, asked them for their tips on it. And then we wound it out with a really insightful interview with a veteran of the RV industry, the venerable Joe Murray, who is a regional sales manager for Road Trek Motorhomes. And Joe was there at the American RV section where we were in Grand Rapids. And I got Joe to stand still long enough to pick his brain. And this is advice no matter what kind of an RV you're looking for, whether you're looking for a Class A, whether you're looking for a Class B, a Class C, whether you're looking for a towable, whether you're looking for a fifth wheel, whatever it is, you want to listen to our interview section now, because you're going to learn from some people who are experts at these shows how you should shop and when you should buy, when you get the best deal, on what do you get the best deal. So let me just quit blathering about it, and let's go to our interview about how to shop for an RV at an RV show.
Hey, my name is Dave Egan. I've been to many RV shows over the years, both from a vendor side as well as a customer. I've owned most kinds of RVs that there are, and I want to just give you a few suggestions as to what you might want to think about when you go to, before you go to an RV show. Specifically, you do need to think about what kind of RVing you'd like to do. Are you going to be traveling a lot? Are you going to go one place and stay? There's different kinds of units out there that you may be interested in. Some have more storage if you're going to be there long term. If you're just doing a lot of weekending, you want something that either you can connect up quickly or load up quickly and get out to someplace and get back. So that's a different kind of RV that you may be interested in looking at. You also, before you go to the show, if you're going to be towing a vehicle and you think that a travel trailer or a fifth wheel is what you're looking for, you may very want to make sure that you check on what your towing capacity of whatever vehicle it is that you currently own. That's a major delineator when you first get to any one of the dealers at an RV show. You take a look at what type of RV you want to look at. And specifically, you're talking about, you're looking at the type of travel trailer that you may want to look. Weight becomes one of the number one factors. What can you tow? Then you look at, okay, do I want something with bunks in it? Because I may need grandchildren, I may have grandchildren they're going to be visiting. Or is it just the two of us? I like to always plan. If you think it's just the two of you most of the time, I always like to plan for one other set of adult couple to join you, all right? So that if you have visitors come out, you stay late at the campfire, they can spend the evening with you if you'd like. Whether it's grandchildren, parents, whatever it may be, oftentimes another set of adults staying in your RV is something you tend to, I think you ought to, I recommend you do. Now, before you come to the RV show, in addition to finding out the weight, feel comfortable asking the RV dealer and the salesperson. Talk to them about the kind of RV you are expecting to do. When you think you have an idea of the type of RV that you're looking at, ask some of the salespeople. Talk to them about the different kind of RVing that you're expecting. Are you going to spend a long time at one place? If that's the case, maybe something like a fifth wheel, something that's got a lot of storage that feels much more like home. But you're gonna park someplace and stay there for months at a time. Now, you still may need a vehicle. If you decide on a fifth wheel, you're certainly going to have your tow vehicle. If you haven't decided on a motorhome to do that, multiple types of motorhomes. There are some where they're smaller and they're great traveling, like the Road Trek, where there's great traveling machines. A traveling vehicle, and that gives you the ability to get in and out of a lot of places very easily, but not necessarily a place that you're going to sit and live in that for 3 months at a time. You also have Class C and Class A's. I've had a number of experiences with both of those, and they can be very different. Class A, if you get that, you need to decide, am I going to tow? I've found with a Class A that many times I will tow, so that they have that flexibility of getting into, for instance, going into downtown New Orleans or downtown Philadelphia, some towns that I have found to be have tight streets and a little bit tougher to take a full-size unit in. Now, a Class C, on the other hand, I had a Class C for about 6 years, and I never towed anything behind that. Two occasions, I didn't feel comfortable leaving they're driving my Class C and getting on public transportation, at which time I called one of the rental car companies. They came right out to the campsite, and for $30, it was a lot less expensive to get a car for the day than it was to call and get a cab. So think about that, but I didn't use, with a Class C, I didn't use my own transportation very often. I used public transportation, and I found that I could drive that Class C most places. If you think about the size buses that you see going in and out of every major city, in front of every museum and every sightseeing location, you're going to find that your Class C will fit in that very easily. So the bottom line is, do some research before you come into the RV show. It'll help you spend more time because it'll be very confusing. There's an awful lot thrown at you. But if you have fine-tuned some of your some of the potential ways you're going to use your RV, it'll help you pick the type of RV, then start looking at the features and functions and specifically what you're looking for.
Hi, this is Dave, and my advice if you're shopping at an RV show is to have a good idea about what you are actually looking for, how much space you actually need. If you have a hobby, how much space does that actually take up? And then where are you going to drive? Are you going to drive in the mountains or you're going to be in the flatlands? So you need to understand how big of an engine you need, how much space you need, and then what kind of roof do you want, you know? Are you on a fiberglass roof or a TPO roof or a rubber roof? I mean, there's all kinds of maintenance issues to consider when you're shopping for an RV. So there's plenty of options. Look around and make sure you know what you're looking for, though, before you start.
Well, here we are at the Grand Rapids RV Show in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. It is packed here today. This is Saturday, and this show runs from Friday through Sunday, and it's just hard to walk down the aisles. But since we are in the middle of the RV camping show season across America, it really has kicked off in the past week, shows all across the country, you're probably going to go to one loyal listener, so let's get you some good advice on how to shop for an RV at an RV show. And what kind of a plan do you need? Should you buy at the show? Help us start answering those questions. Joe Murray, he's regional sales manager for Road Trek, and we're actually at the Road Trek display with American RV. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great today, Mike. How are you? It's good to see you.
It's good to be here. Lots of traffic. What advice would you give people who are going to go visiting an RV show? They're all across the country now, from now for the next couple of months. They need a plan.
Well, Mike, I'm kind of a dinosaur in the industry. I've been selling Class B motorhomes for over 40 years. And I think very simply, it all boils down to how do you want to use your coach? That's a big determination about what you should buy. They all have pros and cons. They all have positives and negatives. It really relates to what works the best for you. Are you going to be a touring type user? Are you going to be a serious camper? Spend a lot of time in campgrounds. That's a consideration.
So let's just say that they are shopping for whether it's a Class A, whether it's a fifth wheel, whether it is a Class B, whether it's a Class C. How do they do? How do they figure this out? Do they just start visiting, wandering in and out? What advice do you give people?
Oh, I think so. That's what we deal with here at shows. These people come to look at the entire gamut of what's available on the market. And, of course, today, Mike, as you know, pretty much everybody's very internet savvy, so they do a lot of shopping, a lot of Googling online and looking at these things before they come to the show. And then usually they're kind of zeroed out into a direction where they want to look at product when they get here. And I think it's just a process of sorting out what looks like do the best job for you.
So how do they do that? Do they walk inside? Do they lie in the bed? What kind of stuff?
All of those types of things. I think they have to put themselves in the coach or the vehicle that they're interested in and look at it from that standpoint. How are we going to use this, honey, if we're camped for 4 or 5 days in a national park? Are we going to use this on the weekends? Are we going to use it to go stay with our kids and spend some time with our grandkids? And all those things come into play. Use the facilities, lie on the beds, check out the storage, all the critical factors.
I heard somebody say one of the best things, it was a woman who told me this, that stand at the kitchen, imagine that you're cooking lunch or dinner, and you need the refrigerator, you need all of that stuff.
Well, that's a valid point. We sometimes have people say, gosh, I don't like this coach because I can't see out when I'm cooking. Everybody's out at the picnic table and the window's on the wrong side of the coach. So those are neat little details that are very critical before you make a major purchase.
And the salespeople aren't going to get mad if you put the bed down and lie in it. Right?
Absolutely not. We do a lot of demonstrating at shows. That's what it's all about. It's about show and tell. We all like instant gratification. We like to sell our products at the show, but primarily it's about exposure, Mike, and people checking out the hardware.
And the reason a show is so good is you don't have to go from dealer to dealer. They're all right there together.
For the most part, yes. Most major shows have all the local dealers, and they collectively cover the whole gamut of RVs that are available, from towables, trailers, and fifth wheels to motorhomes. And
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot with a really tough question, because I know the sales manager part of you is going to say, oh, yeah, absolutely. But does it make any difference if you buy at a show or if you find what you want and then come back and... That horn, by the way, means somebody just sold an RV, right?
That's right.
I'm hearing that about every 3 minutes here in Grand Rapids. Does it make any difference if you buy at the show, or should you, or is it better to go and spend some more time at the dealership, maybe take it for a test drive?
Well, I think that's a big critical factor. You know, years past, Mike, before the internet, we used to sell a lot more shows, but I've always been in the motorized business, and people really have to drive these things. If it's new to them and they just started to search, they really have to drive the coach before they'll buy the product. But to answer your initial question, I think in a lot of cases, yes, because a lot of manufacturers try to work with their dealers to promote sales during the RV shows. This is our kickoff for the year. This is why we get our pulse going for the rest of the year. And we sometimes kick in some monetary assistance to work some deals. And a lot of people think, well, buying at the show is better because they think it's a sales pitch, but it's not always a sales pitch. And that's not to say if a week after the show is over, they're not going to give you the same deal if you come to the dealership and drive the coach and make your decision.
I think people worry about, well, you know, back in the day, it used to be a pretty high-pressure thing to go and buy an RV. Now it's, it is so exploding in terms of popularity that I've not seen any of that, at least where we are here with you guys or any of the other shows we visited. But that gets back to the whole issue of knowing your vehicle that you want. Before you go, should you have like a little checklist of, I want to see this, this, this?
Yes, absolutely. You should be, if you're a serious prospective buyer, you should have a hit list so that when you go to the show, you're not wasting your time and you get to see the things that you need to see that are critical to your decision. Absolutely.
If there was one question you as a buyer should ask a dealer, what is that?
I don't know, Mike. That's a toughie. One question. I don't know. To some people, it's about financing. Can I get finance for this purchase? But I don't know. Service is a big consideration, which I think is important. That's a very critical question. Are you going to take care of me after the sale?
Right.
If I have problems, if I need parts, if I need this, are you going to look after me? And that's very critical because there's a big difference in service at a lot of different dealerships.
That's
an
right.
attitude about service.
I would agree with you. I think that is probably the most critical question to ask. Now, Jennifer is with us, and she even has a question.
My question was, we bought our first one. How much is it going to depreciate that your first year?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Jennifer, because I sell Class Bs and only Class Bs. They have the highest residual value of anything in this building, barring none, and it's much greater than an automobile. So a lot of people aren't concerned about resale value when they buy it, but a lot of people should be thinking about it because if they're normal, they're gonna be looking to trade in a couple of years, and that resale value is a great big deal.
How about just a couple weeks? We bought our first one, and we were so hooked, we wanted a new one. After our first trip, we thought, wow, this is great.
This is our third one
that
in 3 years.
Yeah,
you should lock me up, I'm afraid.
No, we like guys like you, Mike. Keep it up.
I keep the industry growing. I can personally say I'm going to do that. Now, the other question is there a financial advantage? Oh, they sold another one. Hey, is there a financial advantage to ordering an RV to your specs or buying one from the dealer. It would seem to me logically that if the dealer already is in stock, is more of a financial incentive for him to give you a good deal to move that product rather than ordering it.
Yes.
Is that,
is that a valid thing?
If
he has a product on the ground that he owns and he's got interest expense invested in it, or he's got his cash invested in it, obviously his number one objective is to sell what he has. And usually that can, quite often that can relate to a better deal.
And
no
so
doubt.
It would not be too sneaky for a prospective buyer to sort of scout out what that dealer might have in stock on his lot and then go to the RV show and say, that's the one I want. What can you do for me, mister?
That's a pretty crafty approach, but yes, it would make a lot of sense.
Remember, I'm on the consumer side here, so it's good. So there is a bit. In terms of road trek and from what you know of other RVs, if I ordered one to spec to the way I want it, what's the normal build time?
Well, it varies, obviously, but we like to stay within a 4 to 6 week window, Mike. Sometimes depending on chassis supply and model mix in our production facility, it can vary. I mean, sometimes we can get out to 8 or 10 weeks. We don't like to do that. All consumers are normal. It might take 2 years to make the decision. Once they make it, they want it tomorrow. So it requires a lot of hand-holding if we stretch it out too far.
It does.
Mike is definitely, he wants it that day.
Yeah, right. And that's normal.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Before I change my mind.
Yeah, that's exactly it. She nods. That's good. I'm good. I'm good to go. Well, Joe Murray, thank you for this insight into what's happening with RVs. Now, this is your first show of the year as we are here?
No, actually, I was working last weekend, Mike. It was my first show.
But where were you last weekend?
I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and Columbus, Ohio.
So Cleveland, Columbus. We have Tampa this week. We have, Chicago this weekend.
I'm booked about every weekend now until the middle of March, and Chicago's actually about a month away, the Rosemont show.
When you look at these shows, and based on the two that you were at last weekend and this one here, as the season just gets started, you've been in the business a long time, Joe Murray, so you know, what's your sense of what the RV industry is going to be looking at for 2015?
Well, we had a phenomenal year last year, Mike, growth-wise. I did particularly in my own region. And
it's because me buying all my road trucks.
Well, there you go. The attendance was terrific last weekend at both those shows I was at. It's phenomenal here in Grand Rapids. And that's a key sign. There's people out here that are interested in buying. And we were just talking about the Tampa show. That's a big benchmark for this industry because it's the big kickoff for the season. And I think the road truck people are having a pretty good show in Tampa. I haven't heard much about it, but
I know the Tampa show itself set another attendance record this year after setting one last year. So those recession days of 2008 are long over, and the industry seems to be booming.
I think so. You know, there's an awful lot of money in this economy, and there's a lot of interest in mobility and camping and traveling, and I think we're going to have another banner year, being perfectly honest about it.
Now, as I look, I'm just really surprised. Jennifer, have you noticed, too, how many young people are
there? There are
these?
A lot of younger people, because I was going to add why they're doing so well is because all the baby boomers, what is it, every seven seconds, there's another baby boomer, and we want to go.
Now, these, right. I'm looking in, there's a Road Trek 210 here. There's a young couple in there. I'm just surrounding us here. The much younger crowd than I thought. A lot of younger people.
You know, that's changed a lot. You know, 15 years ago in the Class B business, Mike, it was all about camping. Now it's primarily about touring. And I don't know, I don't have the statistical data to back it up, but I feel like we're selling every 5 or 6 of our units out of 10 to baby boomers like myself. I'm an old baby boomer, but our typical customer today is the couple 62 years old. They've never had an RV. They're first-time buyers, and they're touring.
They seem to want to do things,
too.
Definitely. That was the big sell to us. We just wanted to get out there, see and do and experience up close, personal.
I just talked to a young couple. They have a Class C. And they are really looking at this because their kids are getting old. They don't want to travel with them. He's a mountain biker, and they want to travel. And they looked at the hitch, and they realized they can take their bikes with them.
Sure.
And then I shared with them how I rented a travel trailer 2 years ago, and we traveled up and down the Rockies. I towed it with a road track, and his eyes lit up. And my point being is that we have a different mindset among many of the people I'm seeing these days.
And a lot of our buyers, Mike and Jennifer, are just like you. They've got a big dog or a dog. they got to take care of their pets. And a lot of pets are responsible for buying road tracks.
90% of the people who have RVs have pets, they say.
Yep.
That's a big reason.
And then when we were down in Florida, they were saying not just one dog. Person said they had like five dogs.
We saw people with five dogs.
Traveling.
Yeah, yeah, small dogs, but five dogs. All right, Joe Murray, I'll let you get back to the throngs here of shoppers. I'm looking at how many people we can squeeze in a Sprinter van, and I have like about nine people there, so we better run traffic.
The old phone booth days.
That's what it was. Thank you. That's Joe Murray from Road Track.
Well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got the chance. It was nice being inside. And like you said, I was surprised at the age of the people. You got a chance to talk to a lot of people. What were the typical buyers and shoppers that you visited with?
Well, the young couples that I talked to were people that were dreaming of buying the more expensive units. I think because we were there on a Saturday, it was a way to take the kids out. A lot of the younger couples looking at travel trailers and not quite the as expensive of units, but dreaming of the big ones. And they said, how can anybody afford that? And I said, well, when you retire, when you get near retirement age, you'll be able to afford it for sure.
Yeah. And then there were a couple of people that were at that very stage in their life that were looking at it. What did they want to do?
They wanted to go see this country. They have all their dreams of places that they've heard about and they want to go see.
It was kind of fun just talking with people about why they wanted to go, what they wanted to do. And you have a name for what you call these things. You call them, you don't call them a motorhome.
I call them an adventure mobile.
An adventure mobile. Well, that was a lot of fun as we were at Grand Rapids and had a chance to visit with our friend Joe Murray. What a terrific guy he is. He's been in the business 40 years. So if you want information about RVs, you listen to Joe.
He's such a nice guy.
He is indeed. He is indeed.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment.
Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Camping World, the most trusted name in RV sales, equipment, and accessories, introduces the brand new Camping World mobile app. You got to get this. This is really cool. How many times you've been driving down the road and you need, where's that Camping World? I need to go get this part or I want to get this accessory. Well, this all-in-one app gives you a quick and easy access to shop thousands of RV, camping, and outdoor products, as well as RVs for sale straight from your telephone, your mobile phone. You can also conveniently locate the nearest Camping World Supercenter or any of their 100-plus stores nationwide and even get directions from where you are right then to how to get there. And while you're shopping from your mobile device, you can view detailed product information. You can read customer submitted product reviews. If you're in the market for a new rig, you can view thousands of RVs for sale across the country. RV listings include all the vehicle information, which you can then email or print or share via social media straight from their app. Don't forget about Good Sam either. They're part of Camping World, and you can learn all about the Good Sam Club and roadside assistance and all of their other RVing member services. And if you ever have any issues, just get in touch with their customer service representatives quickly through the contact links and the numbers provided in the app. You can be safe and camp on. And all you have to do is go to the App Store, either from Google or from the iTunes, and just search for Camping World app, and you will find exactly what you need. The brand new Camping World app. You can't go wrong with it.
Questions.
You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. Just wanted to let you and Jennifer know that I am a convert to your George Foreman grill idea. I saw it quite a long time ago on your blog. And the other day, I found one at London Drugs in Coquitlam, BC. It's a little two-person one for all of $20. So I thought, how can I lose? Well, I've used it for salmon, for steak, for burgers, and my gosh, no, chicken, that's right, and burgers. My gosh, it is really terrific. I just wish there were a way to use it when I was not on shore power. Anyway, it's a really good thing, and thanks very much for a great suggestion.
Well, our George Foreman grill broke.
You're going to tell them how it broke now, aren't you?
Well, you were trying to grill on top of the stowaway, which if I would have seen you, I would have said that probably would slide off, which it did.
I can't get away with anything. We have a stowaway. It's like a little cargo box that we had at the back of our road trek last year. Where were we? We were in Okeechobee, Florida, I think. And I thought I was being really nice, cooking some great grilled chicken, and the wind caught it right, and it was not a pretty scene.
Well, I could understand why you were trying to cook there, because we didn't have a picnic table.
Yeah, it's amazing. We had a big, fancy RV, but they didn't even have picnic tables. But anyway, Jane's, that was her name, Jane, the reader, her feedback. She was following a post, and we'll put a link up on roadtrekking.com with the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/19. We'll put a link up to the story that she used, and we talked about the George Foreman grill. And I don't think we spent much for that one either. That was a gift from someone.
That was a gift, and we really liked it, and we wanted to get upgraded, to get a model that would do more things, and we couldn't get it. We tried and tried, even called the company, and so we had to switch brands.
We switched brands, and we actually got a deluxe version. The unit we got and we're using now is the Cuisinart model number GR150. It's called the Griddler Deluxe. And I'll tell you, it's a lot more money. It's $159 on Amazon. I've got a link there in the show notes to it. It's one of our affiliate links. It means that if you buy it, we get a little tiny commission. Doesn't make any difference in the price that you pay, but whatever, you can go that way. It's the Cuisinart GR150. And this does a lot more than the old entry-level George Foreman that we were using.
I use it all the time. I bring it inside. I like to grill chicken. We have chicken a lot sliced in strips on salad. We've cooked steak on it. We've cooked burgers. I've cooked potatoes on it. You can flip it over. One side has a grate and the other is flat. You can make pancakes, bacon, anything you want to make, you can make with it. I absolutely don't know how I got along without it.
Yep, this is pretty cool. We really do use it all the time, both in the RV and here. And we don't even take an outdoor charcoal or gas grill. We use this.
I don't like cleaning the gas grill that we have. You know, it's just so much work, and this is easier.
Yeah, you just take the plates out, right? And you just clean them that way. Okay, you ready for another question?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Don.
Yes, hello. I want to know about cabinet and drawer dividers for my new 1990 road trek. We've looked all over the place to find dividers so that we can put clothing or other things in cabinets and not have it move around, dishes, all sorts of things, whether in drawers or cabinets, so that they can be held in place. Thanks. My name is Don.
Well, Don's got a common problem, doesn't he?
Yes, things tend to rattle and move around when you're traveling. So we will use just about anything, towels, all kinds of different things to try to keep things from sliding.
And we just picked up a silverware organizer at the RV show that we visited last weekend.
That's right, because I'd gone to Bed Bath & Beyond and other places, Walmart, and they were 2 inches high, and we needed one not quite that high, so we found one.
Yes, so I that would be, I guess, our first recommendation to you, Don, is to check out, like, Walmart, check out Bed Bath & Beyond. We find a lot of things that we buy for the RV. They're really handy things.
And when you go to those shows, those great big camper shows, like what we went to last weekend or down in Tampa, they're all over the country. That's where you can pick up all kinds of handy little things for RVs.
There are a gazillion vendors that travel a circuit, and they have really cool things. I mean, really interesting things. So you can find out just about anything you want. If you go to roadtrekking.com, our blog, you'll find a number of suggested modifications, and you'll find some of our writers have contributed stuff on how they have done little mods to help things be organized. But we've even used bungee cords, and that works too.
That's true. A lot of people have a lot of good ideas to share.
All right. So thank you for the question, Don. Thank you for your feedback, Jane. And we welcome your calls and your questions, and we'd love to hear from you. And we welcome your questions. All you have to do is go to the roadtrekking.com blog and look on the right-hand side. There's a little black little up and down, like a little link there that says leave voicemail. Just click that, and then you can use your computer microphone to leave us a voicemail. And we love getting your your questions, and you'll be answered next week or the week after. So do that. Send us a question, and just make it kind of one that's interesting to a lot of people who are in RVs. Nothing overly technical. We are not mechanics. We can help you find the right information from the right people. But if you want to talk about just stuff that you want to share or questions, we would love to get them from you. So send them in. Hey, you thinking about a small motorhome, a Class B motorhome? Well, then think no further than Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV is one of America's top dealers, and they specialize only in Class B motorhomes. Only Class B from the three major small motorhome manufacturers. And they're in stock, they're on display, and Van City RV loves to deal. They only sell Class Bs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is considered to be the dean of Class B sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class B motorhomes as well. I've met Ray, I've met Danny and the crew, and they've worked on our road trek. They're one of the top service centers in the country, and I can personally attest to their skill and their expertise. Here's Danny with this week's special.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, this week's special, we got a 2006 Road Trek 210 Versatile with only 51,000 miles for $49,995. We also got our show coming up January 29th to February 1st. We just got word we're going to have the Road Trek Zion demo here. They're bringing it in town so everybody can see it. You can check it out at vancityrv.com or give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, sponsoring the Tech Tip of the Week is our brand new sponsor, the exclusive technology provider for road trekking, and that's our friends at Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. I am so excited to have them come aboard as a sponsor of our podcast, and I use their, you've heard me many times talk about the MiFi card I use, the data card. That's how I stay connected and file these reports. Many of these podcasts have been recorded in our RV, and then thanks to the reliability of the Verizon 4G LTE network, I've been able to send it up and post it and get it to you. So we've got a couple cool things to talk about today. Basically, they're around the subject of password management and protecting yourself against hackers. This is a huge problem, as you well know. And with RVers, we are out there all the time, and many of you do all of your online bill paying through your web accounts. Many of you are managing the utility payments. Your whole life is right there online. And yeah, how do you keep all those passwords and all that stuff secure without bringing something written down and trying to remember them all? I mean, just look around in the news. The massive theft of over 1 billion email accounts by a Russian hacker gang the other day, that was all over the news. Internet security experts scrambling, and I think it leaves all of us kind of wondering what you can do. So I have three suggestions for us. Actually, one suggestion, but three different ways you can meet it. And the first thing is that internet users need to change their passwords. You know that. You've heard that a million times. But it has to be a really hard to hack password. Not like, you know, your husband and wife's name together, or 12345. Or worse yet, some people make the password. You know, hackers know this. Here's what I use, and I can recommend this. I use a program called LastPass to manage all my passwords. And what I like about this is does it all in the cloud for me. It keeps track of my usernames and every password for every account and my logins. When I go to that account I have logged into my LastPass, it will enter them all for me. And the passwords are, it will generate passwords for me. Very complex passwords, you know, with some characters that are both numerical, and then they're in different cases, and then there's punctuation characters, really long stringed passwords. Those are the best way. That program will generate them. It will keep track of them for you. You can put it on your smartphone. You can put it on your tablet. You can put it on your computers. It works for all platforms. It's great. So that's one. Another program like that, it's called a secure password manager, is called Password Genie. G-E-N-I-E. I'll have links to these apps on the show notes, roadtrekking.com/19. Password Genie is another really nice, secure password manager. It stores, secures passwords on PCs, on Macs, on Apple and Android smartphones. Try that. A lot of people like that. And there's another one I came across that I like called Dashlane. It has kind of a form filler, and it will generate those secure passwords for you and keep track of them, and a really easy interface. Like the others, these are all free. They all have premium versions, you know, but the free ones work great. Now, if you don't want to do that, let me give you a hint about setting a password, okay? Here's the hint. The hint is a very simple thing to do. Make it a phrase. We interviewed on my PC Mic TechCast. You might want to listen to that. Go over to PCMic.com and you'll find a link to that right there. But I interviewed one of the top hacking experts in how to protect against it. One of the top guys in the world last week, I think it was, on the PC Mic podcast. And he made a great suggestion. What he suggests you do is you make a phrase. You could make a phrase be, "I hate using passwords," !! comma. Or passwords are just not my thing with the pound sign. But make a phrase, a long phrase that you can remember. And that makes it very difficult. So there you go. I can't recommend those secure password managers, the three that I just gave you, all of them free. I will link to them on the PC Mic site. And that's some pretty good traveling tech tips for you. Hey, if you've been enticed by these offers you keep seeing to cut your wireless bill in half, don't be swayed by the promise of a lower bill. Paying less doesn't mean that you're going to get more. In fact, you could actually be cutting your coverage in half. Remember, no matter how much data you have, it's only as good as the network that it's on. So don't settle for a substandard network. Find one that can keep up with your mobile lifestyle. Consistently ranked number one for network performance by third-party testing companies, Verizon continues to listen to what's important to customers and is committed to providing the best network experience. Verizon's 4G LTE network is now available in more than 500 markets. That equates to 98% of the U.S. population, covers nearly 308 million people. Visit your local Verizon retailer today and you can learn how you can take advantage of Verizon's best ever pricing and join the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And visit roadtrekking.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life. That's roadtrekking.com/VZW. We are so delighted to have Verizon with us as our sponsor. So I hope you will check out that. Just go roadtrekking.com/VZW. I think they even link to some of our road trekking stories from time to time. And we've had a lot of fun with Verizon doing stories for them all around the country. And you can check on some of that as well.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion
you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Thank you. And before I play this Off the Beaten Path report from our contributor today, I want you to know that if you've got an Off the Beaten Path report, we'd love to get it. Just go to roadtrekking.com and click the leave voicemail message. Use your computer microphone to record it. Now, this can be something that's probably not in a guidebook. It could be an adventure you had, or as we're going to hear in a minute, a misadventure or a series of misadventures that you had. It could be a really cool place that most people don't know about. It might be that perfect campsite that is in an area that you need to make a little effort to get to. But share those off the beaten path reports. Kind of stuff you'd talk about around a campfire at a campground. If I use your report, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. This week's report comes to us from Jan Seiner.
Hi, I'm road trekking reporter and road trek engineer Jan Seiner, and here's my off the beaten path report. We bought our 2001 Road Trek, a 200 versatile, in 2009. We bought it from a very nice couple in Pittsburgh, PA, sight unseen, and to drive it to Portland, Oregon. No, we really don't do things the normal way. Shortly after we got it home, we cleaned the van, sterilized the tanks, and went on our first shakedown cruise, a four-day loop through eastern Oregon and the Columbia Gorge. A few days before departure, we were woken up by someone ringing our doorbell at 2 in the morning. Turns out our neighbors across the street, who like to party all night, interrupted an attempted break-in into our van. The window behind the driver, where my daughter sits, was smashed out, but fortunately nothing was stolen. The window was covered with plastic. As my daughter was 12 going on surly at the time, this gave her a great excuse to ignore everything that's said to her. Huh? I can't hear you over this plastic flapping in the wind. As I lifted the license plate to fill the propane, our propane fill tube is behind the rear plate. The latch that holds the plate down falls off on the ground, all four rivets rusted out. It goes in the future project bin. 5 years later, it's still there, but that's not relevant. Day one, I'd been having trouble with a charging system, and the one house battery was fried, so I bought a cheap replacement. I figured that it might also get fried, but we needed a house battery. Went to the local battery dealer and bought a cheap $80 battery. I installed the thing amidst much mumbling. Whoever designed the battery holder in this vehicle should be sentenced to swapping it out. Helps to have simian dexterity along with the flexibility of an elephant's trunk. It doesn't help to have a sailor's command of foul language, but it does make you feel better. We spent the day in Fossil digging for fossils. If you've never been to Fossil, the high school has a public fossil claim where you can dig for 36 million year old fossils from a time when the high desert was a lush tropical forest. A lot of eastern Oregon is a giant fossil bed. After a day of fossil hunting, we arrive at the campground, a great place with half-acre sites, pit toilets, and no hookups. I turn on the house power and nothing. I think, the charging system can't fry the battery that quick, or can it? I reach up under the van to see just how hot the battery is. Nothing. No battery. Somewhere between Eugene and Fossil, the blankety-blank thing fell out of its oh-so-well-thought-out home. So much for boondocking and Fossil. About that time, pea-sized hail helped us decide to move on to the gorge and find a campground with power. If you don't know eastern Oregon, towns or people are few and far between. 70 miles between neighbors is not uncommon. So day two, we spent the day visiting the Air Museum and the Discovery Center. Hood River is home to the Western Antique Aeroplane and Automobile Museum, which lives up to its name, with an incredible assortment of planes and cars. The Columbia Gorge Discovery Center in the Dalles is an incredible place that also works with raptors. We got to hear a great talk by a falconer who rents his birds of prey to local farmers for varmint control. Travel that day was relatively uneventful, except for the mysterious disappearance of my wife's reading glasses. Under the seat, never to be seen again. My Garmin GPS starts freezing up every 3 to 4 minutes, requiring a power-off-on cycle to wake it up. Day three. We spend the day hiking the waterfalls at Starvation Creek and enjoying the scenery along the gorge. No one actually starved at Starvation Creek. A train got stuck in a snowdrift on December 18, 1884 for a couple of weeks. The local townspeople brought them supplies and even catered Christmas dinner. The paper sensationalized this quite a bit, and the name stuck. Come back to the campground and notice that one of the outside vent covers over the fridge is now missing. Day four, home. Nothing broken, missing, or lost. Lizards and snakes are alive and well. My GPS system works all the way home. And in spite of, or maybe because of, our mishaps, great fun was had by all. Reporting for Road Trekking, the RV Podcast, I'm Jan, traveling off the beaten path. You can read all my reports on roadtrekking.com, the RV lifestyle blog. See you on the road.
All right, Jan. That's kind of, you know, that's just kind of typical sometimes, isn't it? And yet Jan is still at it, still in that same road trek, by the way. And Jan will be together with Jan this weekend and a number of other podcasting listeners up at the snowy Taquamenon Falls State Park in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Talk about off the beaten path. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan in the wintertime with 32 inches of snow on the ground. It is going to be a ball. So you can hear how we did. The whole report next week's episode will be, I am sure, an off the beaten path report. But if you've got your own off the beaten path, send it in. Everybody's got great camping stories, and I'd love to share them. Just go to roadtrekking.com and click the leave voicemail links on the right-hand side of your screen, and we will be glad to listen to yours. If I use yours on the air, we'll give you a free road trekking hat.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Thank you so much. So ends another episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. Our sponsors have been Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes, the Good Sam Club, good friends, good fun, great savings, join today, and Verizon Wireless, with the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Thank you, Verizon, for joining our sponsorship. Hey, I want to thank everybody who has been on the iTunes page for this podcast and has kindly sent us in a review and a rating. You have no idea how much those help. They really, really, really do help. And, you know, they help us get noticed. That's one of the reasons we were actually number one in the iTunes travel category not long ago. I want to thank, I read every one of those. I want to thank Love to Travel 1954, who says, I've been a podcast listener for many years in a variety of topics. Was delighted to learn that this podcast was available when I started thinking about becoming an RVer. The insights provided by Mike and his wife Jennifer are helpful and fun. His enthusiasm for the RV lifestyle is infectious. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I enjoy listening to the podcast. Also find it helpful to go to their website for further details. Thank you so much, Love to Travel 1954. Snuffy Smith says, a very professionally produced podcast full of entertaining and useful information for any traveler. Always an hour well spent. Thank you, Snuffy. And Bugs512 says, not just for the Class B motor homeowner. This is someone with great knowledge of reporting along with owning an RV, and it equals a very alive and refreshing production. We own one of those big Class A motorhomes. Find the information here extremely valuable. I personally love the segments in the show. Look forward to more shows in the future. Makes 1 hour of a 2 hour commute great. Thank you so much, Bugs512. Please, if you do that, if you know how to leave a review, go to iTunes and do so. I have some instructions on how you can do that at the end of our blog report, and you'll find that with the show notes here at roadtrekking.com/19. We've had, we're pushing 400,000 downloads since this program began in October of 2014, and I am just amazed. So it has been a ball, and I think the reason why is because it's just so much fun. This whole RV lifestyle, it is great, no matter what you travel in. In fact, I'm told somebody's going to be up north in the UP camping with us, and they're staying in a tent. So that is going to be pretty interesting. They're actually going to be sleeping in a tent. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for listening. It's an absolute blast to do this every week. I love getting your email and your voicemail messages. Thank you for putting me in your ear. We'll see you next week. Road Trekkin'.